Well, kia ora koutou, everybody. Welcome along to the Short Ball, a Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty and Mills with you. Millsy, the Mitre 10 Cup is finished. The Heartland Championship is finished. The Farah Palmer Cup is finished. That's the New Zealand domestic season over.
Done. Done and
so
dusted.
Good. So good. So good. Today on the podcast, though, we have a very special guest.
He is a very special man, isn't he?
He is. The Short Ball later on, we're going to talk about the Barbars taking on the All Blacks. I think we are anyway. You interested?
Nah.
Good, we'll pretend later on that we are while we talk about it. But in the meantime, let's go to Corey Flynn, former All Black, former Crusader, now currently retired. Retired. You've hung up the boots, Flinny.
Yeah, I definitely have, mate. They're hung up and, I'm actually really happy.
Now, I've got a few, I know you're happy because you're lazy. That's what's happened here. but I also, we want to talk to you about a few things today. Why Canterbury is so good at rugby. Also your career, but also the Heartland experience. You played for the Coast this year, West Coast, beaten finalists in the Heartland Championship Lahore Cup final on Sunday. I think that's where we're going to start, Flinny, because where were you, mate?
Yeah, well, I was actually in Japan playing for the World 15, mate. You know that because you gave me a fair serve on the commentary because I was watching it with Scott Robinson.
Is this about where he's sort of the time of the segment where he just hangs up, Sumo?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him, actually. I wouldn't put it past him. Hey, mate, no, seriously, though, I know you'd planned that earlier in the year and you had no way of knowing that the Coast would get through to a final this season, but when you came back from your journey up in France and Scotland and joined up with West Coast, why did you make that decision, mate? The only province in the country that has never won a title, the Heartland Championship, which is fairly much an amateur grade these days, what did you have to prove?
There was nothing to prove, mate. It was more, like my body was good. It was feeling good at the time, I was meant to be playing anyway, but Glasgow cut me. So,
is that Dave Rennie gave you the cut?
No.
You're retired, mate. You're retired. You can name names for me. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well. Yeah, no, he didn't come here. It's just a differing of opinions, I suppose you could say.
did you get paid out?
Well, yeah.
Got a little payout.
Yeah.
Just a little one, mate. Just then went and topped it up in Japan, did you?
Oh, coming from you, Millsy.
Hey, Flinny, hey, mate, you're back now, so where are you going to reside, mate? Are you going to move Kerry Lee and the kids down to Invercargill? And in all seriousness, mate, are you actually hanging the boots up, or are you going to turn out for a star sometime once Jay Harrison gives you a phone call and says, mate, one more year, eh? What do you reckon?
I'm done. I'm done in terms of competition, competitive footy. Heading over to Bermuda with the Classics on Friday. So,
oh, no.
Doing that, and then that'll be me pretty much done. So, but in terms of where we're living, we've set roots down in Christchurch at the moment for sure. You know, we've got the kids are in school here, and Kerry Lee's got a job 3 days a week, so I'm a kit man at the moment. I'm looking for a job, but just sort of doing that transition, mate, that you know too well of.
Don't worry, Flinny. We're looking to make this a three-man podcast in 2018, so we'll be on the blower to you. I just want to take you back to the West Coast decision to play, though, mate, and the experience of playing a season of Heartland footy.
Yeah, so Mike Connors, who's the CEO of West Coast Rugby, before I went to France, he sort of said if I'd be keen and coming to the West Coast when I got back, if my body was all right. And, so I said, you know, it'll cost some white bait and some lamb and stuff like that. And he said, yeah, well, we've got plenty of that. So that's how it came. It was sort of just honouring a handshake deal and had a lot of fun too.
I've got to say, Mike Connors came up to me at the game on Sunday in Meath and Flinney with a medical bag and full of ice and a kg of Southwestern Whitebait. He's a hell of a good man. I can see why you liked your time there. You guys like JJ Manning, who's just a champion, and the Tofuddy boys, and Pete Tarako on the wing. I love his story. You call him the Ferrari because he had no speed. I like that. And Tommy Ricci and Nick Cummings. And you know, they're just a good bunch of guys, mate. And I guess it is a different vibe after all your years of playing high-level rugby with the All Blacks, Crusaders, Canterbury in France and Glasgow, as you mentioned. It must have been so nice just to be Tuesdays, Thursdays, game on Saturday, a couple of beers with the boys and enjoying it for what the game is.
Yeah, you're right. And that's, you know, that was the whole reason, really, of doing it, just getting back and having that fun and stuff like that. You know, the boys they sort of let you know that you were, you know, nothing but a West Coast player. So, you know, they cut you down to size if you know, they think you're getting a bit too big for your boots. And, you know, it was fantastic, mate. The vibe that they've got on the coast is great. You know, they obviously, the little Hawke Cup didn't go our way, but, you know, it's a bit, you know, a work in progress. They've got such a tough assignment with the catchment area. You know, they've got guys like we were from Christchurch. We've got guys from Nelson, you know, so it's bloody tough to field a competitive team. And, I was pretty rat with how the boys did anyway, you know.
I've got to say, I was talking to Mike about the region, the West Coast province itself. If you took it off the map and placed it over the top of the North Island, I think it stretches from Wellington to Hamilton. I mean, it's a big area. Most of it fjords and deer and guys with six fingers. But, I mean, hell of a spot anyway. That's a joke, Coasters. That's a joke. I don't mean that at all. But, look, it is so proud down there. Those boys are chuffed. And they all come over the hill over Arthur's Pass to watch the game, mate. You had Coasters Corner in Methven. Shit, you would have loved it, Flinney, if you weren't such a mercenary.
I was watching on TV with Razor. He had his Sky Go going on his phone, so we were watching. It looked like a great day. I mean, in terms of tourism in New Zealand, setting in Methven, that, you know, that game was bloody, it was second to none, you know. So, and you know, and like you say, the coast guys, the supporters that we get, pretty parochial, you know. They probably give us more shit than what they do the opposition, you know. But
especially your commentator Jimmy Finlay gets stuck into his.
He's usually got a few choice words. He probably needs to take a little bit of a Scotty Stevenson commentary lesson.
I don't know. I think I could learn a lot from Jimmy, how to drop a C-bomb into a commentary. That would make my day. Hey, Flinney, I want to talk about Canterbury. You look at their track record this year. The Crusaders get up for the first time since you were running around with them, mate. Canterbury have won a ninth title in 10 years. The Canterbury Wahine get up and win the Farah Palmer Cup for the first time. Mid-Canterbury win the Lahore Cup. So the only trophy going in New Zealand, apart from the Farah Palmer Cup Championship that does not reside in the wider Canterbury area, is the Meads Cup, and that's with the Butcher Boys at Whanganui. What is it about rugby in that area that has created such a dynastic regime?
Oh, mate, I don't know. You know, like, I think it's winning breed, you know, success breeds success. You know, like, yeah, the culture that we have, you know, I've been lucky enough to play in the Crusaders and Canterbury and Toulouse and Glasgow. And, you know, the cultures within the Canterbury and the Crusaders are, you know, you can't replicate, and it's something that's really, really special. You know, like Millsy will know, having played for the Chiefs when they were really strong, you know, and, you know, the culture that they had there was, it says a lot about a team. If you can get that culture right and you get everyone buying into a common purpose, it's so powerful, you know. And, you know, you've obviously got the players in terms of selections and stuff like that, but you know, how many players have come from different franchises and they've sort of struggled at their home franchise, come down to the Crusaders and flourish, you know. So yeah. It's It's hard to explain, mate. But it is pretty special, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Flinny. I was going to ask. I know the word culture gets sort of bantered around all over the place, and but you know, if there's one thing that you can actually try and explain, maybe just one little thing that does make a big difference. You name those guys that come from different franchises, and you know, all of a sudden they just blossom into something else, and it's almost like you take someone from a different environment, different culture, you throw them into Canterbury and you say, well, this is how it goes, and then they just sort of go about their own way. Yet when you take them out of it, they become a totally different beast. You know, they go away to back to their provinces that they come from, and almost fall back into, you know, the bad ways. If there's one sort of thing that you could look at in Canterbury and also the Crusaders that you could at least try and explain, you know, what would it be?
I think it goes where, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Richie McCaw, Kieran Reid, Dan Carter, or a Richie Mwanga, you know, a young guy coming through, you're treated equally. Mm-hmm. It's completely the same, you know. So if you know, Richie's late, he gets fined, you know. It's sort of one rule for everyone, if you know what I mean. You know, no one's treated as a star or something like that. And I think that would be the difference that I've noticed in the other teams that I've experienced. You know, mm-hmm. Toulouse and Glasgow, your superstars were treated a hell of a lot differently than the younger guys. I suppose that would be the one thing. You know, and everyone there is even and working towards that common goal as equals, I suppose you could say, you know.
Flinny, when you look back on your career, and I want to, I mean, a really serious question for you. You've achieved so much, and for a long while there, I think you were the most capped Crusaders player of all time before Crocky discovered he could keep playing until he was 70. But, you know, if there's one thing you look back on, what is it that you are most proud of in all the games you've played, all the tournaments you've played, all the success you've had?
I don't know, mate. You know, there was 150 odd Crusader games that, you know, that all of them were special. You know, my 100th game in Cape Town for the semi final of 2011, you know, after the earthquake, and you know, that was something, just something so special. You know, like it was. And then my 150th, obviously, that was pretty cool. World Cup, you know, Millsy, you were there. You know, that was a pretty epic time, mate. You know, that was, yeah, there's just so many, man. You know, like, I suppose I've just been lucky to have such a long career, and, you know, 17 years. I'm just blessed, I suppose, you know.
CJ, if someone was writing the valedictory for you, what would it say? How would you like to be written about in the future when people look back on the career of Corey Flinn?
Oh, hell. I don't know, mate. Far out.
We'll play for money?
No. I mean, you know, like, I suppose, love the game. Just love the game. He, you know, he sort of, I don't know, it's pretty emotional time at the moment, you know, sort of thinking about that sort of thing. it's all sort of coming to an end and that, but I don't know, just having a real love for the game. You know, there was times there where I lost it in terms of my injuries and stuff like that, but then I got a chance to really enjoy my rugby, and I took it. And yeah, I think that would be me. You know, just had the love of the game.
John, there was one thing that stands out calling all of your games, and this is quite apart from the fact that you were always so competitive, mate, that you never gave your jersey to someone younger than you without them proving they deserved that. But when I say that, you always supported that person. But I remember talking to you when young guys like Ben Fennell were coming through and Cody Taylor, and you said to me, mate, they're not just going to get this jersey. If they want it, they've got to get it off me. And that was how much it meant to you to play for the Crusaders. But there was one game in particular I remember, might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen you do on a footy field, and I can't remember who was the opposite player, but he called you fat and you complained to the referee. You turned to a referee and said, he called me fat. And it was right through the referee's mic. I think I fell off my commentary chair. I almost died listening to that. It was beautiful. You loved a bit of banter out there.
Yeah, it was, you play against the same players over and over again, and you strike up relationships. You know, obviously me and Horry were good mates off the field and stuff like that, and you know, so yeah, when you're there, you're locking horns and stuff. You want to still have the fun, and that's what you do. You know, you take the piss and have a bit of banter, and you know, and then you get on with your job. You know, that's great.
Well, I'll leave it to Mills to wrap up, Corey.
Hey, well, Flinny, mate, I just want to lastly say, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure that obviously you're going off on a different sort of avenue. Your career's over, but personally, from myself and also Sumo here, mate, you've been a fantastic stalwart of New Zealand rugby and also especially down in the Crusader country. And in particular, I suppose, we've got a bit of a connection being from Southland Boys High way back in those days. And who would have thought? A hooker and a centre from Invercargill would go on to make the All Blacks, mate. So congratulations, mate. Enjoy being away from rugby. And, hey, from a little bit of advice, mate, it's all right to criticise now, mate. You can absolutely criticise anyone you absolutely want, okay? So but well done, Flinny. And, hey, thanks for answering your phone, mate. That's how we know whether you're a bloody good bastard or not,
mate. It's true.
Nah, cheers for that, guys. Caught me by surprise. I've just got home from a little jaunt away, but it's good having a yarn, always is, and look forward to the next one.
Good on you, Flynn. Thanks, mate. Corey Flynn joining us on the short ball. I'm a bit emotional listening to Corey. It is quite raw for him, isn't it? I mean, the guy's played for so long, 17 years, as he said, and, you know, he was so distraught about missing that game on Sunday. I know we're about taking the piss out of him a little bit, but there's nothing more he would have loved than running out with West Coast in that final on Sunday in Methven. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I've liked about what he's done, you know, he's come back and I kind of envy him a little bit that he's actually come back to enjoy himself, do one little stint in New Zealand. You know, I know it's for the coasters and it's not quite, at a higher level, but he's given himself an opportunity to say, well, you know, I'm going to end my career having enjoyed myself back in New Zealand and giving back to a small little town like the West Coast. Yes, you know, and that's probably one thing that I struggled with when I was overseas. It's not the same in Europe or in Japan. The culture's different. You know, he spoke about it doesn't matter whether you're Richie McCaw or Dan Carter, whereas sometimes overseas they give the older head special treatment. Well, and that's the sort of thing you struggle with.
But it filters through the prism of football, aren't they? Mm. Where your superstars are your superstars, and that's what it is. Rugby union's a very different game. And I always worry about rugby union's approach, especially in terms of the commercial capriciousness that you see every day with rugby and the private owners. Rugby's not football.
No.
One guy ain't going to win you a title.
No, it's not.
And you might have a striker in a football side who can get you close.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that in footy. There's no one player who's that good. He deserves to be treated differently from the rest of the team.
But it's also implementing that. It's also making sure that one superstar that you have got knows that, you know, he's not better than the team. And that's one of the things that, you know, a side like the Crusaders do. And, you know, Flinny touched on it, you know, doesn't whether you're late, if you're Richie McCaw's late, he's going to get fined. Well, Richie McCaw's never going to be late, you know, because then that's the example. But one thing that always sort of surprised me is what I sort of touched on, you know, as soon as one of those guys comes out of that environment, they almost go back to their normal ways. But they go in there and they're like, different again, you know? It's weird.
But I'd add to that. I think everyone leaves that environment greatly improved.
Oh, absolutely.
As a person.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we did a podcast earlier in the year on the short ball with Scotty Robertson talking about the environment that he creates in the Crusaders. It's no different in Canterbury. Mm. And the one thing that, you know, intrigues me about their run of success, I think, and I know Jamie Wall's sitting here as well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they've done those 9 titles under 4 different coaches, at least 3. Now, you can talk all you like about coaches. And everyone says, oh, well, they've inherited the players. But to have that sustained success when every couple of years your coaching has changed, that shows that somewhere above coaching level you have arguably the greatest administration in the game. And I think it rings true when you think that New Zealand Rugby is run by Steve Chu, a former CEO of Canterbury Rugby. Hamish Rehak has now moved just to the Crusaders, but he's a very capable CEO, a new CEO, and Nathan Godfrey, I think his name is, at Canterbury Rugby. And now their women's program has joined the men. So something is going super right there. We'll get to the bottom of it over the next couple of weeks. I want to talk to a few more people as we investigate the dominance of Canterbury. And I joked on the radio the other day, you know, Auckland won 2 Super Rugby titles and New Zealand Rugby couldn't wait to break them up. And the Blues, should I say, couldn't wait to break them up. Say, geez, you don't need counties as well if you're going to be this dominant. Canterbury Rugby have won 9 out of 10 tournaments in Mitre 10 Cup. I mean, no one's talking about breaking up Canterbury and the Crusaders and look at what they've done. It's basically the entire South Island Bar Otago on lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
With sustained success, and it's systemic throughout their entire system.
Yeah.
And they are just up. They're always up, the people who work there.
I mean, you're right. It's interesting you bring that theory up about the fact that they've got something upstairs. You know, we often talk about the end product and the players and the coaches, but it stems right from the very top. And, you know, the guys in the admin roles don't often get, you know, commended for their role, the role that they actually play, because that's where it starts. I mean, you compare them to where, you know, Auckland are at the moment, and that's perhaps the difference. 100%. It never gets spoken about because everyone just looks at the final product and the results on the field. But you've got to take a step back and look at the Canterbury mould, look at what's been successful. You've named it. 3 to 4 different coaches.
Yeah.
Why are they still successful? You know, whereas...
And that's just head coaches. That's not to mention assistants and all those who have transitioned to other teams or gone up through to the Crusaders like Scotty Robertson. I mean, look at this weekend. I mean, Corey Flynn, a former Crusader, has gone to play for a World 15, coached by Robbie Deans and Scott Robertson, 2 title-winning Crusaders coaches, who are going to take a Barbarian side to face Steve Chu, a former Canterbury coach, and Wayne Smith, a former Canterbury player, and Twickenham.
Yeah.
This is deep. The Canterbury fingers are deep.
No, it's deep, right? Because you just named everything. Steve Chu when you're supposed to say Steve Hansen.
Did I say Steve Chu was coaching?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, well, that's what you said. But, hey, yeah, that's what happens when it's just Canterbury on your mind,
Steves.
Mate.
There's a lot of Steves. Yeah. You know, I think it's the most common name in Christchurch, Steve.
Is it?
I think so. A lot of Steves.
You're probably right.
Melzy, I want to touch on a couple of other things. You mentioned, you know, the culture and... The culture of New Zealand rugby, I know that it's put its hand up to say it's our fault for a lot of things recently, and I understand why rugby would take a position on a lot of issues in society, because if they don't take a position on it, they're seen as irrelevant. Only if they do they retain their importance as a sport in the community. But we had Australian correspondent Jabal Staunton over for the weekend. Him and his mate Chips Blanche came with me Friday to Wellington. They drove from Auckland to Wellington to go to the championship final, had a ball. We were invited along to share a beer with the Wellington boys at their pub. Jamie Wall was there as well, but he must have left at midnight before he turned into a pumpkin. Not entirely sure where he was after that. But, you know, Jay arrived and Brad Shields recognised who Jay was, even though they'd never met before. He's seen Jay's work on Rugby Pass and stuff through our association. This is the captain of Wellington. They've won their first title in 17 years. He turns around at the bar and says, "Mate, Jade, welcome to New Zealand. Can I buy you a drink?" Then they hand him the championship cup and he has a drink out of that. Man, the guy's having the time of his life. We go to Christchurch on the Saturday. Boys are sitting in the stands after the game. They're meeting people from both teams, talking to New Zealand rugby punters. They're having a great time there. We drove to Methven. And they sat there on Sunday in Methven watching that, the Hawke Cup final. Mount Hutt with snow on the top. Oh, a glorious day, mid-20s. 3,000 country punters and basically a paddock watching the Heartland final. You know, after the game in the Methven Rugby Club sheds with a big bottle of Spates and then on the road back and up to Arthur's Pass. You know, he finished the weekend and he said, you know, look at the last 72 hours of our lives. We've been shouted drinks by the skipper of Wellington, the championship-winning team. We've been to the premiership final, seen Canterbury win a 9th title. We've been to Methven and met Sir Brian Lahore And every single person who met them, and I explained they'd come all the way from Brisbane, couldn't do enough to help them. Mm. And you know, that to me says more about this culture, quote unquote, of New Zealand rugby than anything else. That a couple of boys who love their footy decided to come across for a road trip and experience that kind of weekend with the people they met, all going out of their way to make sure they had a great time. That's when you're proud of the game.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we often forget that. You know, I mean, you talk about Brad Shields. You've gone from the
right
one spectrum to the other, you know. That right down to, I mean, from professionalism semi-pro. Well, he's obviously a Hurricanes to, you know, amateur.
That's right.
And, you know, you couldn't sort of... there's no difference between the two. It's as if Brad Shields was playing... the Lahore Cup, you know, the way they treat people. And that's
exactly,
that's what you often get commended on when you're overseas, and especially as an All Black or a Black Fern or whatever, that people see you as so down to earth. Or when you come to our country, like Jay Borden did, and, you know, he was treated as like you'd known him forever, you know. The hospitality is fantastic, and I think that's what... you know, we should be proud of that, and we should keep holding on to that. But that, you know, that stems from a long way back. You know, we've always loved our culture in New Zealand is enjoying a pint or two, and also making sure that when people come and embrace our game, that we treat them nicely.
Couldn't have said it better. Millsy, we're going to move on the short ball now to the Barbarians taking on the All Blacks. It's a trial game for the wider All Blacks squad, quite frankly. I've never seen a Barbarian side pick like this. I mean, everyone basically playing for the Barbarians is a guy who's on the cusp of All Black selection. Mm. It's coached by Scotty Robertson and Robbie Deans, both well-known to Steve Hansen, of course. Both have been around Steve Hansen for a long time. I get the feeling this is basically an All Black setup, this. Bring all the guys who are on the fringe that we couldn't take on tour. Let's see them in a game, in action against our boys, see where they're shaping up, all part of the planning for the Rugby World Cup. Couldn't have worked out better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've spoken about it many times that... you know, you could probably possibly field two teams. Now, if Steve Hansen had his way, he'd probably pop a few of his other players out here. Isn't going to pick onto the Barbarians, you know. So, but it is. It just goes. I mean, I know I said before that, you know, I wasn't looking forward to. I actually am looking forward to the fact that, you know, there's so, I think there's 13 Kiwis in the Barbarian side, and to play over there, you know, similar brand of. I mean, the Barbarians have always been known to throw the pill around a bit, but, you know, I think they'll bring a little bit of structure as well. And so to see those 13 New Zealanders, Kiwis, play against the All Blacks, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to see how they sort of bar up or compare.
Totally. But look, I mean, there's a chance here. I mean, this is the different thing. A Barbarians game usually, let's be honest, involves a week-long drinking session, getting paid about £7,500 to spend the week, and Mickey Steelbodger showing you off around town. I think this is different. I think there are guys there, the likes of Richie Mwonga, who are going to go over there and say, yeah, I had a taster, boys. I'm coming at you hot. Oh, Bowden Barrett's got the skipper's armband for this. Imagine Richie Mo carving him up on Twickenham. Wow. That would be insane.
Well, you speak of Richie Mwonga, and I thought he was probably one of the unlucky ones. I thought he was unlucky. I mean, he should have, in my opinion, I thought he was actually going to go on India tour. I can see what the All Blacks are doing. Obviously, McKenzie's going to be their third, you know, 10, but he's got a point to prove. He's kind of sitting there now. He's going to control.
Did you see him on Saturday night?
I read about it, and he was fantastic. I didn't actually watch any rugby in the weekend. I was going to confess to that.
I know you didn't, and there's a reason why you've got examinations, so I can understand that. I watched it for you, Millsy, and wow.
Unbelievable. And you look at this game. Perfect opportunity. Do you think you might want to go and get on the...
100% going, if anyone goes down, I'll stick around the UK for another couple of weeks, boys. Absolutely. Holler at me.
Yeah, and so, that's a massive matchup, you know, so...
It just dawned on me. I was looking through, and I thought, because I know why, you know, technically speaking, quote-unquote, the clubs aren't releasing players. It's outside the international window, but this could not have worked out more perfectly, I think, for Steve Hansen, the All Blacks, to be able to see their fringe players... I would not be surprised if they've had a hand in some of the selections. I can't prove that. I don't know that they have, but it wouldn't surprise me if they'd maybe slipped a couple of numbers across to Razor Robertson and Robbie Deans and said, mate, you mind picking this guy because we'd love to see a look at him.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting though, Sumo. I mean, because, I mean, imagine the insurance they'd have to pay for some of those players that are going, and also being released. You know, they're on their break, and, you know, sometimes it's hard for guys like Richie Mwonga to be released to actually play for, you know, your exhibition games like this. So
he would have swum to the UK to have a chance at this game, I reckon.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Dylan Hunt. I can't wait to see Dylan Hunt go.
Yeah, I mean, look, you name those guys there. You know, two form you know, tens in the Mitre 10 Cup. They get a chance now to play against the best player in the world.
Yep, I agree, Millsy. Looking forward to that one. Barbars against the All Blacks. Looking forward to it. Maybe not for the result, but just to see how a couple of those Barbars go when the real heat's on.
How about some of those Barbars against the Australian team? I've seen some of those hits. Stuff that.
Nyora Voro. Taniela Tupou with a ball up the jumper. They should have given that try.
Yeah, what was the go about that?
You can't do that anymore. Yeah, well, that's horseshit. I mean, I tell you what, God protect the Barbarian brand forever that they still make jerseys you can fit a ball up. Yeah. And All Black can't do a tuck up the jersey.
Nah, mate.
There's no way.
There's no way. That's skin tight, that stuff.
Millsy, always a pleasure. Good luck with the rest of your exams. Great to have Corey Flynn on the short ball today. He is a genuine champ, and I know we'll be getting him on the podcast regularly next year.
You know what? I reckon we should do this more often. Just ring up random guys. If they don't answer, it just goes to show what we mean to them.
That was planned.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I just made
it look random. You've blown my cover right at the end.
Is that what you guys do in the media, is it?
Jesus, why do you have to do that?
Well, hey, I'm just learning, mate. I'm just transitioning, remember?
It's been all year. You've been with me all year.
I'm still learning, mate. Still learning. Plenty of room.
Every day's a school day, Millsy. That's been the Short Ball Rugby Pass podcast. Make sure you check out rugbypass.com for all the action. Hotting up in Europe as well. Or cooling down, depending on which way you want to look at it.